I bring to you this morning grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us together this morning. In today's reading, God reminds us that we are created for his pleasure and with purpose. We human beings, in other words, cannot be compared to any other thing or creature that God created. When we talk about being created in his pleasure, we are talking about the fact that God created us in his image and likeness. And when he did, he saw that it was good. And when we talk about purpose, we mean that God created us for a reason. And not just a reason, but a responsible reason. And this is why no other creature in our world is required to function like us. God gave us the laws to follow and not the animals. And when man fell from grace and began to discover life on his own, the next thing we heard was, "And Cain killed Abel." And so we started to live like animals. And God comes back and said, "No, no, no, no," to Cain. He says to Cain, "Where is your brother?" And that question brings about the whole idea that God created us to be responsible. All right? And so he asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" And the response that came from Cain, because Cain thought in his mind probably that we were created to be irresponsible like every other creature. And the question comes back, his response was, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And so God comes back and responds to that with a, "No, no, no. You are responsible to manage over my creation. It's the reason why you were created. It's the reason why we were created." God even made that more explicit by creating man last and not first. Well, somebody might say, it doesn't make sense that God created man last. If we were created to manage, then we should have arrived before everything else. Well, the reason God did that, because if man had been present at creation, he would have thought that he and God own this thing. All right? So God brought us in after everything was set up. And when you really look at it, God uses the approach of a businessman. All right? He brings the manager in after the business is set up. And that's the whole idea here. God said, "This is my business, and I created you to work for me." You look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." All right? So as offspring of Adam, we are all managers of God's creation. This is one of the reasons why the stewardship end of the church work or church life is so important. And so we have a stewardship board in the church that emphasizes the need for us to serve the Lord, for us to give our gifts and our talents to God. This is so important because why? We are all offspring of Adam, and being offspring of Adam, we are all managers of God's creation. So you may be asking the question of, what am I managing then? I'm not living in the Garden of Eden. We are not living in the Garden of Eden anymore. When God created Adam and Eve, he placed them in the garden and he told them to manage. I'm not in the Garden of Eden where you are on God's earth. It doesn't matter where we are. You have your garden to where you are. Everyone has their garden to wherever you are. And whatever that garden is determined by what you are doing and what you are responsible for. All right? And so the question is, what is your garden? Your garden is your life, first of all. We are responsible to take care of our life. Remember, God told Adam in the garden, one of the first conversations that God was concerned about was what he was to eat. All right? Do not eat of this tree. All right? For the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That had to do with him being responsible for his life. All of us are responsible for our lives. That's one of the things that we find in this garden that God has given to us, is to take care of our lives. All right? And then our immediate family comes in. He says, be fruitful and multiply. That has a lot to do with us being responsible and taking care of our families. All right? And also our callings. Whatever it is that you have been called to do in this world, whatever your vocation is something that God has blessed you to do, no matter what it is. Okay? Every single person that has been born into this life and has a career has been called by God. The police officers who stand on a street corner directing traffic has been called by God. The janitor who is cleaning up the building has been called by God. Every person has been called to serve in that particular vocation where you find yourself. And as you do your job, you have to do it as unto the Lord and not as unto the manager who hires you. And this is how important it is. So we are in our gardens wherever we find ourselves right now. That place is your garden. Whatever God has entrusted you with can be considered as your garden. So in the gospel reading today, Jesus uses the parable of a dishonest manager who is about to be fired for wasting his manager's possession. We find that in Luke 16, verse 1. All right? What I want us to be reminded of is this. Every time Jesus gives a parable, there is always a lesson in it for the listener or hearers. And he is driving a point across. And so it is this morning as he gives this parable. In this parable, the master is a picture of God. He represents Jesus Christ the Lord, and the manager is the picture of man, all right? So we are managers, and God is the one who is the master over whatever we are managing. We are managers over the master's mission. This is the theme for today's message. We are managers over the master's mission. So here are a few principles, sorry, to pull from this morning. In this parable, as we manage God's mission in our individual callings. The first one is the timeliness in the parable. It reads in Luke 16, verse 3, the manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job, and I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. Now, the first message out of this particular text is God controls all that we are and all that we have. That's the message Jesus is giving to you and I this morning, that God controls all that we are and all that we have. There is nothing that God is not in control of. And the scripture tells us that the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So all of us are under the authority and control of God. Whatever we have, whatever we are, God is in control of. And this is what Jesus is making clear here. The second message is that this manager is thinking about his future as he realizes that he is about to lose his source of living. He's thinking about the future, what is coming ahead of him. All right? And unfortunately, many of us don't do very well with that. Okay? He's thinking about tomorrow. How far do we think ahead as people in this life? For us, God has created us to live eternally. If you never got this message, get it clear that we are not to live until we retire. We are not to live until we expire from this earth. We were created to live eternally. And what is very important about this is the fact that eternity awaits every person. But the question is, where are you going to spend it? And that's what we need to plan for. All of us need to be planning for eternity. This guy is planning for his future and the now. He sees things falling apart. You see, the third thing he notices is that time is running out. Time is running out. I don't have much time left. And how am I going to use the few time that I have left for me to make the future better? It is the question. It's the question to all of us. From the day a man is born into this life, he or she starts to die. From the very minute he is birthed or she is birthed, the clock starts ticking. And it ticks onto the grave. And so sometimes we may look at it and think that we have all the time left in the world, my friends. But the time goes by so fast. And that's why the Bible says we are like flowers. We're here today and tomorrow we are gone. These are all statements that Jesus makes to make us understand that our time on earth is not too long. And sooner or later, we'll be over on the other side. And so we need to be preparing our lives and looking ahead and looking into the future. And that's why Paul writes, set your eyes on things above and not things below. So this guy is planning for the future. It's the message that we're getting out of this parable. Jesus gave a parable. It has a message in it. The question to all of us this morning, how well are we planning for the future of eternity? I'm not talking about the future of retirement. I'm talking about the future of eternity. As a matter of fact, some of us in this room, or many of us in this room, are enjoying retirement right now. So the question is, what's next? What's next after that? There is nothing else on this earth to plan for after retirement. But folks, there is something in eternity to plan for after retirement. So with the time we have left, we need to use it wisely. The second thing we look at in the parable is the negligence in the parable. Look in Luke 16, verse 4. It reads, he says, I know what I will do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So the manager realizes that his job description was of twofold. One, it was to the master, and the second was to the people. One, to the master, and second, to the people. When you look at this aspect of the parable, it shows you the cross. All right? The cross. We as God's people, we have two responsibilities in this life, two major responsibilities. And the first one is to God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and that's the vertical aspect of the cross. And love your neighbors as yourself is the horizontal aspect of the cross. And this is the responsibility that all of us have as we live on the earth. We have a responsibility to God and to our neighbors. It's very important. We have many folks living in the world who spend all the time with God and don't care about man. When you do that, you don't complete the cross. The cross is completed when we realize how important it is to serve God, but also how important it is to serve our neighbors. The manager failed his master and the people. And why was it so? It was because he took care of himself. He was taking care of himself the whole time and didn't care about the true responsibility that he was called to. And surprisingly, many times in this life, a lot of folks are spending time taking care of themselves. All right? They do whatever they can to get to the top. And even if it means that somebody else is going to fall, it doesn't matter to us. But God is saying, no, it shouldn't be like that. Because the end of it all is that the flesh counts for nothing. We see in John 6:63a. That text, in this text, Jesus speaks and says the flesh counts for nothing. We can earn all we want in this life and achieve all we want in this life. But if our achievements and earnings are all just because of us, then it profits us nothing, because the flesh profits or counts for nothing. But God has blessed us so that we can become a blessing to others. The manager invests in people. His kingdom concept, this is a kingdom concept. He's investing now in people. He says, I'm going to invest in people. Investing in people is a very important aspect of our living here on earth. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbors as yourself. It's a very important aspect. We see God even addressing this issue in the Old Testament this morning, where he's talking about Israel and how in the Old Testament, Israel is neglecting the poor. And just because they want to get rich, the rich is getting richer and they are neglecting the poor. And this is the kind of concept. So God is calling us to serve and to serve people. Let me show you how important this is. Looking in Matthew 25, verse 34 and on. Look at what Jesus says here. Then the king will say to those who on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. This is how important it is. We are here to serve, my friends, and to serve one another. This is a very important aspect of this parable. It says he's investing in people for the future. Now look at the moral of the parable, which is the last part this morning, in Luke 16, verse 9. He says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will become welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, the first thing is, Jesus saying, be a channel of blessing. Okay? Use worldly wealth, all right, to be a blessing. Be a channel of blessing. Let God use us as a means through which his blessings flow to others. It's what it is saying here, first of all. And that's why all of us have been called. Remember Jesus said once, if you cannot be trusted with little, how will you be trusted with much? All right? But when God flows his blessings through us, the reason for that is so that we can become a blessing to the people around us and let his love be seen and heard and felt through us. It's the importance of that. Second thing is, be aware of the value of the blessings you have received. The temporal blessings that we have received, we must be aware of the value. The value is that those blessings or these blessings are temporal. They're temporal. It means that they don't have everlasting values to them. But in other words, it's been given to us so that we can use it to be able to earn everlasting values. It's in the Word. All right? So God has blessed us through his grace and given us these things, not so that we sit on it, but so that we can become a blessing. And that's what the text is telling us. So the value of these things, some people cherish these things so much, earthly things so much, that they're not willing to share it. All right? And so God is saying that we must know the value. The value is the fact that they are temporal. They don't have eternal value. They're temporal. And then the last thing this morning is, be an investor of eternity. Invest into eternity is what Jesus is saying. For where a man's heart is, treasure is where his heart is, the scripture says. Question to you and I this morning, where are our hearts? Mine is in that eternal investment that God has in store for us in heaven. It's where I look. Every day when I wake up from bed, my heart is set on heaven. It's set on what God has prepared for us. And that's the dwelling place I'm concentrating on. That's the desire that I have. That's the passion that I have. My mind is set on heaven. And so we invest into eternity, knowing that someday when we walk away from this earth, heaven awaits us. Oh, what a joy it would be to be right there in the presence of God, enjoying the blessings stored up for us. I pray that these words this morning from God will encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. God will not build his home in you and move away or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.
We continue in worship with the taking of our tithes and our offerings.